Turns out church isn't just about what you get. Church is also about what you give. Friends, we are an interdependent web of grace. We are mutually supported by the spiritual gifts of one another. As Jesus pours his grace into us and through us for the sake of his body.
Welcome to Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and we've got an exciting topic today. We're talking about spiritual gifts. Now, spiritual gifts are all about me, right? What's in it for me with spiritual gifts?
Well, sometimes we think that, right? We tend to think, oh, you know, what's my gift and what makes me special? And that's one line of questioning. But what Paul is going to show us today is that spiritual gifts are given for the sake of others. In other words, it's a gift that has a ministerial application. I'm given a gift in order to extend that gift and use it for others. And that's what the body of Christ is about. It's not just what I get when I go to church and when I'm in relationships. It's also what I give. And we are a mat of interdependent, interwoven fabrics that come together. And that grace upon grace that's flowing out and back and forth between each one of us, that's what the body of Christ is to be about. That's what the spiritual gifts are for.
Well, let's go now to the pulpit of the Moody Church, where we'll dig deeper into spiritual gifts. This is the second part of the sermon, Together We Grow. Our text, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16.
The triune God who has unity in diversity in himself has now united in Christ's body people from every nation, tribe, tongue, language, and people into a multi-ethnic family, into a unity in diversity community, so that our oneness is meant to reflect and reveal the oneness of the triune God. It is our witness to the world. Is it any wonder then that Satan works so hard, so overtime, to foster divisions within the body of Christ? Is it any wonder? Satan loves to sow discord and disunity within the body of Christ. He loves to stoke our pride and our anger and our short-temperedness and our unforgiveness, which is the very opposite of Christ-like humility, gentleness, patience, and loving forbearance, you see. He loves to thwart the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And Satan's not that creative, but he is effective. He runs the same play over and over again. That's why church fights are a cliche, aren't they? Friends, maintaining the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace is a matter of spiritual warfare. We have to be hyper-vigilant as a people. We cannot allow Satan to gain a foothold in our family. But it can happen so very quickly, doesn't it? Hurt feelings turn to bitter resentment, which leads to self-righteous list-keeping and gossip and slander and divisiveness and quarreling and biting and devouring of one another. And it's sadly all too common, isn't it? So how do you get ahead of that? How do you get ahead of that, get upstream of it, before it gets out of hand? Well, Paul tells us, with humility, gentleness, patience, loving forbearance. Because we need humility when our pride gets wounded, don't we? We need gentleness when our anger is provoked. We need gentleness when our anger is provoked. We need patience when irritations come. We need loving forbearance whenever we get hurt. So what does it mean to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which we've been called? Well, the first thing it means to live out the very character of Christ with one another so that we are eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So the first thing it means is unity, unity. Now, lest we be confused here and think unity means uniformity, Paul immediately chases this with diversity, diversity. The unity of the body of Christ is not uniformity. Uniformity is where everybody's the same. But in the body of Christ, everyone is very different, and those differences are not erased. In fact, to be united in Christ is to be united in diversity. It's to have unity in diversity. Verse 7, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean? That he had also descended into the lower regions of the earth. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Now the quotation here in verse 8 is from Psalm 68, verse 18. And if you go back and read the entire psalm, you'll realize that it's a psalm celebrating God's redeeming work of taking a people for himself, Israel, out of their bondage and slavery in Egypt, taking them through the wilderness to the promised land, where God then ascends his holy mountain in Jerusalem, where he is enthroned in the temple in majesty, receives sacrifices of praise from his people, and bestows his covenant blessings as gifts of grace upon his people. So that's in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. And now Paul says, he quotes it, and he says, look, something very similar is now happening in the New Covenant, the New Testament. God is once again redeeming for himself a people from bondage, this time from sin, death, and Satan. And also through the blood of a lamb, right? And has led them now through the wilderness, as it were, into all the promises that are yes and amen, amen, in the resurrected Christ, who has ascended now to the heavens and is seated at the right hand of majesty on high. And he is receiving our praise, and he is dispensing now, bestowing his new covenant blessings as gifts of grace upon his people. This Jesus who descended all the way down to this earth is now ascended in the heavens, exalted above the heavens, and is giving grace to each one of us, each one of us. Now, how many of us are included in that statement? Verse 7, but grace was given to each one of us. How many people are included in that? Raise your hand. Raise your hand if you're included in that. Some of you need to raise your hand. Yeah. Did you know that Jesus Christ has personally given grace to you in form of a gift? That he has uniquely gifted you. He measured it out just for you, like a tailor measures you out to get you a custom fit. It suits you perfectly, this gift. And now in verse 11, Paul's going to name a few of them. And they're in fact people. People are the gifts. The gifts Jesus gives are his people. He's giving his people to his people as grace for one another. So Jesus is pouring out his grace to us in order that he might pour his grace through us into the lives of each other. These gifts are what the Bible refers to as spiritual gifts, gifts that are empowered by the Spirit of God. There are four passages where the Bible discusses these gifts. If you want to study them this week, you'll find them in Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12, right here in Ephesians chapter 4, and in 1 Peter chapter 4. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4. Now, between those four lists, if you look them up, there are 20 gifts that are mentioned in those lists. Like mercy and hospitality and wisdom and discernment and helping and administration and leading and teaching and so many more. And none of these lists, of these four lists, are identical. It's interesting. They're none of them identical. And what does that tell you? It tells you these lists are representative. They're not exhaustive. Okay? which means these are just some of the various kinds of gifts that Jesus gives to his people in order that we might be conduits of his grace in the lives of one another. The gifts of Jesus are limited only by the creativity of Jesus, the gift giver. He's allowed to do whatever he wants to do, okay? And Jesus has given grace to each one of us. That's what it says. He's given us a spiritual gift through which he is dispensing his grace into the lives of others, which means you are here on purpose. You are here on purpose. We need you desperately. You are a means of grace from Jesus to us. And without you, we miss him. You see how essential you are. Church isn't, turns out, church isn't just about what you get. Church is also about what you give. Friends, we are an interdependent web of grace. We are mutually supported by the spiritual gifts of one another. As Jesus pours his grace into us and through us for the sake of his body. Now, in this passage, Paul's going to highlight four gifts in particular. He does so in verse 11. And he, Jesus, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. So there's four groups here. It looks like five, but it's actually only four. There's the apostles. These are the ones chosen and sent out by Jesus himself. There's the prophets. These are those who receive direct revelation from God and speak on his behalf. There are the evangelists, people who are gifted proclaimers of the gospel. And there are the shepherd teachers, shepherd hyphen teachers. It's a bit technical in the Greek, but both of these nouns are governed by the same article, which is technical stuff, but it basically means these two descriptions are describing one essential gift. These are shepherd teachers. These are shepherding teachers, those who shepherd and teach in their role. We often call them pastors today. Now, these are not all the gifts, remember. There's a whole bunch more of them listed in other places. These are just four of the gifts. And these church leaders that he identifies here are gifts, Paul says, that are given by Christ to be conduits of his grace for his people. And there's a progression here if you look at it. These church leaders are given by Jesus in order to equip the saints. So that's all of us, right? We're all the holy ones of God called by his name. So we're the saints. We're to be equipped for the work of ministry, that is the using of our own individual gifts for the sake of the body, for one another, for the building up of the body of Christ, so that we might together become strong and mature. So while these church leaders that are given by Jesus have specialized roles in catalyzing and resourcing and equipping the believers, the real work of ministry, Paul says, belongs to every single one of us. We are all of us essential. We are all of us conduits of grace to one another. We all need all of us, right? Because we are diverse in Christ's gifting. We are diverse in Christ's gifting. Friends, you are a uniquely gifted conduit of Christ's grace for those around you. Did you know that? When you show up, grace pours out. We will never be all that God wants us to be until every single one of us is present. You believe that? So what does it mean to walk in a manner that is worthy of the calling to which you've been called? Well, it means to eagerly maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We saw that. It also means eagerly contributing our diverse giftings for the building up of the body of Christ, doesn't it?
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy. We're so glad you've joined us today as we explore our God-given spiritual gifts and how God wants us to use them. You're talking about the church, you're talking about spiritual gifts, but Pastor, for a lot of people, it seems church is sitting on my couch eating a croissant. Or maybe it's a weekly event. I go once a week and attend or periodically, but you're inviting us to consider something a little deeper here.
Yeah. You know, American culture is very consumer driven, right? We're a consumeristic people. And I think what can happen is we almost take that same attitude when it comes to church. We're like, well, this church provides this, and this church has music I like, or this church, that preacher really speaks to me. And so we think of it almost as a consumer, as like, what store do I go to? Which church should I attend? And it's all about the question we're asking behind that sort of consumer mentality is, what's in it for me, right? But if what we're seeing here in Ephesians is true, and it is, that God has given spiritual gifts to each one of us, that he intends to be a conduit of grace in the lives of other people, it's not just what do I get from church, it's what do I give to church. I'm a contributor to the body life, to the means of grace in the lives of other people. God intends to use me to dispense his grace in transforming life into this community. So if I stay away, or if I skip or whatever, or if I exit, I'm not just missing out on what I could get from church. I'm also stealing from other people the very grace that God intends to pour through my life into the lives of other people. In other words, God intends us to be together. He intends for grace to pour through us. And so it's not optional. And we need each other more than we know. And we need others for our own transformation. And others need us for their transformation. And so we dare not stay away. So this is just a whole mental shift that I think we need to learn to embrace when it comes to church. It's not a consumer relationship. We're net contributors. And we belong. We're part of the fabric of the community. And grace upon grace is being poured out in and through each one of us. We need each other desperately.
Yeah, this is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. We're talking about spiritual gifts. And so our listeners may be thinking, say, well, like, spiritual gift? How do I know what my spiritual gift is? How would I discover that spiritual gift?
Yeah. You know, when I was growing up, we had these like little spiritual gift inventories, little tests, and those are somewhat helpful, I think. But you know, for most of the church history, we didn't have those. Okay, so apparently they're not 100% necessary. I think this is the way to think about it. Remember that movie, Chariots of Fire? That's an old movie now, but there's a great line where Eric Little says, "When I run, I feel his pleasure." I think there's a sense that we all have that when we're in the service of the Lord, when we're doing something that we're made to do, we feel the pleasure of the Lord on our lives. We're like, that felt right. It was just like, that was it. It was the Lord's, he smiled upon that when I did it. I think there's a sense in which what we got to do is we just got to start serving people, start loving people, see a need, respond to it. And then some of those are just going to resonate in ways that are like, I felt like that was really effective. You're gonna feel like there's more happening there. It's a collaborative feeling that God used me to do more than I thought I would possibly do in that scenario. It's just, there was a gifted, like his grace worked with me in concert with me in that scenario. And so you just pay attention to that and you say, okay, well, let me try that again. And see if that's a repeating thing. People in your life will start to notice that stuff and they'll say, well, you know, you're really good at this. I was serving in Awana just last night and the leader of Awana is amazing. And I told her afterward, I said, you were made for this, because I could just see that she was thriving. Like she's so good at this. And so I think other people will start responding and affirming and will say those kinds of encouraging things. And those are validations. And so you're looking at, this is something I think God's blessing. This is something that's being affirmed by people I trust in my life. And I think through trial and error, you just kind of feel it out. You figure it out. But you do have a gift. Every single believer in Jesus Christ is filled with the Holy Spirit and has special grace to give to the body of Christ. We just got to get it activated.
So what do you think? Do our gifts grow? Do they change? Can I exchange it for another gift if I want to, if I want a different gift? Can I swap?
I don't like this color.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I think there's a sense in which probably the portion of grace, Paul says they've been measured out.
Yes.
Measured out. And it's not like measure in a cup where it's like some get a lot and some get a little. It's measured out like you go to a tailor and you have a measured for you suit that's made and it's perfectly tailor-made. It's been measured out for you. In other words, the gift fits you.
Oh, yes.
And I think that's the notion. God's given you a kind of kernel of grace, if you will, a seed of grace, and it's going to grow. And as it grows, it's probably going to look a little different over time. But I think the kernel of it is probably pretty stable. But different situations may press out various extensions of that gift that maybe you've never seen before. And it might look like a totally different gift, but I bet it's probably connected. So I think there's a kernel of grace, and it's going to grow and adapt in various situations. It will have fresh expressions. And I think what we need to do is learn to love the gift that God has given us. He doesn't need everyone to be the same.
Yes.
And I think sometimes we look around and we get jealous of other people's gifts and we think, man, I wish I had that one. That doesn't help. You play the hand you're dealt, right? And God knows what he's doing. He gave you the gift he gave you. It has more potential than you realize. Lean into it. And it's beautiful. I think what we can find over time is that God is good. He knows what he's doing. He's wise. And his gifts actually fit us more than we know if we will just work with them.
I'm so glad you touched on that, because even with the gift of teaching, for example, someone may say, well, I have the gift of teaching, but someone else is so much better than I am. Hmm. Their gift seems to be much more powerful. And you've touched on that. One, we don't compare. And it's the work of God, how he uses the gift. So even though we may not feel it's effective or as effective, we don't know how God's going to use that. I'm so glad you touched on that.
Well, and it gets to the intention. There are things that God has placed you on this earth to do that only you can do. Not everybody needs to be Billy Graham. We only need one Billy Graham. Hmm. Billy Graham served the world, right?
Yes.
In amazing ways. If I were to sit here and want to be Billy Graham, I would be frustrated. I'm not Billy Graham. I'm called to be Philip Miller. And I need to trust that the Lord's good intentions for my life and for his kingdom, for what he wants to do in the church, in and through me, is perfectly measured out. It's perfectly situated. And so it's not my job to sit around wishing I had something different or hoping it looks a little different or like get really jealous or envious or frustrated or irritable, right? That's just going to be sideways energy, and it's going to detract me from the very calling that I have. My job is to trust the Lord's intentions, do the faithful thing in front of me, keep showing up, and trust him with the rest.
Amen. I trust you've been encouraged today, and I look forward to our study in Ephesians chapter 4. Now, have you ever been told that if you only have enough faith, you can demand health and wealth from God? But when healing doesn't come or the money runs out, it leaves believers sometimes feeling abandoned by God and utterly disillusioned. The truth is, we cannot claim promises that are not ours. That's why Pastor Erwin Lutzer's brand new book, Why Doesn't God Answer My Prayers, is so vital today. You know, Pastor Lutzer shines the light on what God has promised us, and he exposes the lies that lead to spiritual ruin. Get the clarity you need to pray with bold faith. Now, beloved, your request truly matters to our Heavenly Father, and for a limited time, we're offering Why Doesn't God Answer My Prayers for a donation of any amount. To request your copy, simply go to livinghopeoffer.com or call us at 1-800-215-5001. You can also write us at Moody Church Media, 1635 North LaSalle, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for joining us for Living Hope, where you'll always find gospel truth for the journey of a lifetime. Living Hope is a production of Moody Church Media and is sponsored by The Moody Church.